Summer Hall. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you are running for school board. This is a role that requires a lot of time and attention. You're going to be dealing with tough issues on a pretty regular basis. So before we get started, just tell us why you're running and, you know, what your deeper motivations are. And as part of that, just broadly introduce yourself and share your background.
So again, my name is Summer Hall, and thank you for having me here today. I was born and raised here in Akron, Ohio, graduated from Akron Public Schools. I currently work for the city of Akron as the community outreach coordinator. I am over the public arts as well as the program manager for the Akron Innerbelt. And then I facilitate a few other programs, educating the city and also students of APS of city government. You know, advocating for children is definitely in my DNA. My great aunt, the late Helen Arnold, was the president of the school board, as well as the first Black female to sit on the Akron Public School Board. My grandmother was a civil rights activist for the city of Akron, who she fought for everyone. It wasn't just the poor, the hungry, the homeless. It was everyone. Really just letting people know that they have a voice and a speak up when you need something versus suffering and struggling. So she really tried to help people find their way. And so she really was used as a stepping stone to just get the community engaged. And I find myself doing all these same things. I know when I was a little girl, I was, you know, that little girl with them out in the crowd. You know, when people were running for mayor, she was, you know, out in the crowd passing out literature. I've passed out literature for many people through my high school year who are, you know, effective people in the community today. So I have been advocating for children in our community all my life. So as a school board member, my goals are to ensure safer environments for students, teachers, and staff, promote academic success for all, not just for some, but for all school students. It doesn't matter what school they're at in APS, every child needs to have the same opportunity. Strengthen parent and teacher communication. That's really, really important, because when teachers and parents don't talk, there's a total disconnect. But when they do talk and they're brought together as one unit, they can really help our kids. You know, I was a kid too. You know, we tried to pull the wool over everyone's eyes. You know, no, they didn't say that. No, I don't have homework. But when that teacher is sending out that email on Friday to say, hey, this is what we did this week. Next week, we'll be doing this and we'll be working on this. That gives parents an idea of what their kid will be doing. So they can reiterate, hey, do you have everything you need on Sunday night to be prepared for Monday? Because your teacher has already told you what your kid will be working on. So I think that's really, really important. Revive vocational and co-ops, vocational training and co-ops in the schools. I know we have some, but we need to bring back all these unions and trades. You know, with the college and career academies, no longer we tell kids that you have to go to college, because before it was, that was the only way, you know, and kids that didn't want to go to college were made to feel like they were failures and they weren't good as their, you know, their peers, because they were going off to college. Or you go to college and you say, yeah, I'm going to do this, and you're not mentally ready. And what happens? You flunk out your first year. So now all that money that you may have gotten in scholarships or people invested in you or your parents, you know, paid, if they're able to do that, you just threw all that down the drain. So why not talk to kids about other avenues, right? So with this career, bringing the unions and trades back into the school opens so many eyes. Some kids may be good with just their hands. Let them utilize that. Let them go into the trades, be electricians, laborers, plumbers. There's utility workers. There's so many different unions, and that was just to name a few that are out there, as well as, you know, have a better partnership with our corporations and our businesses out here that have these type of trades. Educate our kids on from ninth grade to senior year. And then when they graduate, hire them as full-time employees. But also we have to teach financial literacy. You know, growing up, my mom said when I went to school my freshman year, don't get a credit card. you're telling a kid not to get a credit card, and we, you know, you're walking around campus and you see all these credit card companies giving out free water bottles or that cool t-shirt or gift card. You're like, I'm gonna apply for this credit card. But we don't teach our kids the value of why not to get a credit card. Or if you get a credit card, this is the responsible part, you know? So really it's just educating kids on just the financial aspects. And then also making our community learning centers more accessible to the community. When kids leave 3 o'clock and the teachers and staff leave, the janitors are still there. So these community centers should still be accessible for organizations that have mentorship programs. They shouldn't be having to do it out of their homes. They should be able to go back into these schools where the kids are and, you know, have these mentorship programs. When our youth pee, we need a space for our kids to go in and practice because it's getting cold and the girls are cheerleading. Let them go into the gyms, but also educate these facilitators, these coaches, these mentors, how to utilize our schools. You know, if you're going to be in the cafeteria, this is a space that you need to keep your kids in. This is what needs to be done when you leave. Make sure the trash is picked up. Make sure when you leave, the lights are turned out. Make sure that you have everyone. They have everything. So when you leave this building, know that you can't come back in. And then also give them the number to the janitors where they can communicate and say, hey, we're leaving. We have everything we need. So then that janitor can go to that space and lock up. You know, we can do things easier and not make things so complicated. So, you know, that's where I'm at. You know, and I'm running because I care about these kids. I care about our future. These kids are going to be taking care of us when we get older. I have two daughters, brilliant kids. I have one who is in her second year of law school in Chicago, you know, and I have a fourth grader, you know, who is, you know, trying to be the best that she can be. She's a competitive cheerleader. You know, she plays golf. She loves soccer. And it's about me pouring into my kids. And if I can do that with my kids and my siblings that I raised when my mom passed when I was 24, and my siblings were 14, 13, 10, and 6. I'm 24 years old raising kids, and I have a three-year-old. I don't know what to do, but all I know is the values that my mom instilled in me was to make sure home was taken care of, make sure the kids had what they needed to do, well, what they needed, and school was important. Make sure you're doing your work. Make sure you're, you know, advocating for them. And that's what I've done all my life. And I know that I will do the same for the kids in our community because I do it now. You know, I'm speaking up, you know, for kids. I am talking to parents. Hey, scholarships are out. Take advantage of these scholarships. My daughter went to school off of all local money here in the community, you know, and that's one big thing. If you want to go to college, let me help you. You know, and I know our counselors are bogged down because there's like one counselor to every 400 or 500 kids. How do we make this easier on the teachers, on the counselors? We just come together as a community and help one another.
No, and on that note, appreciate your personal and professional motivations as you're thinking about your role as a board member. Over the next 12 or 18 months, what do you view to be the board's, the big picture items that you guys are going to have to address?
Well, number one, we have to be advocates for our superintendent. We have to support him. We have to listen to his goals and his thoughts. And we have to, you know, everyone's not going to always agree, but we have to work together to just build our strong schools. In the next 18 months, you know, they talk about levies, how many levies, right? We need to totally understand what we are asking our community to do. Because at the end of the day, I'm a tax-paying resident of Akron. So those levies are going to affect me also. So, you know, not only the community, but we have to talk about, you know, the levies of, sorry, we have to talk about far as where is this money really going to go? You know, we can't have any hidden agendas. What we tell the people is what we have to utilize this money for. So is the money going to be for staff? Is the money going to be for building new schools? How many levies are we talking about? Is it one or is it two? Is a second levy for building north? We need to know this and we need to totally be transparent and open. And we also have to have community groups to have people express their concerns, but also have them buy into it. You know, 7 board members can't do this alone. 1 superintendent can't do this alone. We have to start bringing the community in to get their perspective. And maybe someone may have a better idea on how to, you know, how to utilize this money. I know we're $15 million in the hole right now. The city's given APS half of it. So do we really need $15 million or do we need the $7.5 million? You know, so that's just things we have to ask ourselves. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it right now, and I'm trying to learn. But like everybody else in the community, we're just trying to figure it out. Safety is another issue that we're going to have to nail down. And it's not so much of guns being in the school. It's in our community. It's kids walking to school afraid. It's going to the games, you know, and not knowing what's going to happen. How do we provide safety that way? There was just an article put out in the newspaper, I think it was yesterday, where they interviewed a kid and he talked about, you know, where he lives, and he doesn't go outside. He goes to school, he comes home. He goes to practice, he comes home. Why? Why aren't kids outside throwing the ball? Why aren't kids outside just running around, you know? I look at when I was young, outside was it. You know, you go to school, you come home, you're playing with the kids in the neighborhood. You're walking down the south to go play, you know, I was a cheerleader. And then we walked home. But back then, community stood together. I could walk down the street and the neighbors that were retired would be on their porch drinking coffee. Hey, Summer, as I'm walking to the bus stop, which was 3 blocks from my home, I didn't have that care about shooting, you know? And I grew up in an urban neighborhood. I grew up right by the zoo, you know, that people always talk about, oh, a bad neighborhood. I walked 3 blocks every day from my home to Wooster Avenue. At the time, it was Wooster Avenue. Now it's Vernon Odom. But I walked there with friends and we played around. Or I knew I wasn't supposed to be riding my bike in the street, but I would drive down and, you know, turn down Bellevue and go in the street. Next thing you know, you hear my grandmother yelling, Summer. And I'm like, what? You know, well, didn't say what back then, but I would come home. Are you on the street? No. Yes, you are, because Mr. Thomas said you were in the street. So, you know, people weren't afraid to tell parents about their kids. People weren't afraid to call me out when I was wrong. Nowadays, you don't know what you're going to get when you try to correct someone's kid. You don't know if the parent is going to be on their side or if they're going to just come and start yelling at you. We have to be a community. We have to know that the best interest at heart is our kid and our community. And I don't think anyone wants to see kids be hurt. I know I don't, you know, and I can really only speak for me. So just having our kids go to school and being safe so that they can just focus on school, we may have to do things a little different. If we have to put metal detectors in the schools, so be it. You know, badges, you know, kids wear the lanyard with their ID, like their picture, their name, maybe a barcode to let you know, like, this is the school you're at. And when you come in, you swipe. So that lets you know you're supposed to be here. And it's about just being innovative, right? We can travel to different places and things like that. I know I have friends in a different state and their kids, they live in the suburban neighborhood. And I was just thinking about this yesterday. And I was like, you know, when I was there, her daughter had on a badge. And this is the suburbs, right? And we're in inner city. So they have metal detectors in their school. Their kids wear lanyards. So this is the suburbs, and we talk about this being so safe. Why not maybe implement things that we learn from different cities, different cultures, into our school to promote safety? Just little things. They don't have to be so grand. If we start off little, let's see how these little things work and how it impacts our school. And then just if we can just, again, I know I piggybacked on the communication with the teachers, communications with the parents. And ultimately, you know, I know you were telling me about, you know, the administration with the schools. How do we support our teachers? they're doing the best that they can. You know, they're human. They're coming to school with issues and dealing with problems themselves, but they're coming every day to educate our kids. So how do we support these teachers? And when we're bringing in new teachers, how do we support those new teachers? We need to have, you know, we talk about mentoring kids. We need to mentor teachers. Yeah. So our seasoned teachers that's been there 10 plus years, you have a new teacher coming in that may not have even grown up in Akron, may have grown up in the suburbs or a different town, a small town, that don't really know about our inner city kids, that may have never dealt with our Black kids. How do we make them feel comfortable? You know, everybody's going to have their perception of what people look like and what you hear in the media. And, oh, God, I don't know if I want to go to book, though, because I got all these kids. But you get some of the best kids from all walks of life, and they want to thrive just like the next kid. We have to support our teachers so that they can not be afraid, but they can be excited to come to work and pour into the kids. And then we also need to let teachers teach the way that they need to teach, because they know the kids. They're with those kids every single day. So if it's your kids coming in with headphones every day, oh, those kids like music. Let's be innovative. Let's turn this test, right, that we're studying for on a state level, and let's turn it into a song. Let's turn it into a rap song, but give the kids the opportunity to create that song and to share it with their classmates. Maybe that will help our kids be better test takers. I don't know the answers, but I know we have to try new things.
Well, appreciate that. And just briefly want to go back to something you touched on. You talked about the board's role supporting the superintendent, being very communicative with parents. If elected, you're an individual member of that board. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that role focuses most of your energy? Where do you want to make most of an impact?
Good question. So I will be just one person out of seven board members. So one thing that even in my day-to-day career and in my day-to-day life, building relationships is my big thing. Having respect for each other. And being able just to communicate with one another. We're all going to have different thoughts. We're all going to have different ideals. But we have to work together. And we have to respect one another. And each person is human, right? So we have to take that in consideration and just give each other grace. My role, again, I know how to build partnerships because I do it with the city of Akron. I know how to talk to people. And I know how to just treat people where they are. So with me wanting to build communication, better communication with teachers and parents, how do we do that? We maybe do things a little differently. Maybe teachers send an email to the teachers. That's communicating. Teachers sending emails to the parents, maybe on Friday, and just reiterating what they did. Because me as a parent, all I want is to communicate with my child's teacher. And I want to know what my child is learning. I don't just want to send my kid to school. I want to know what my kid is getting from here. And then I want to be that helpmate to that teacher to help my kid survive and thrive, you know? So really just working with teachers to find different solutions, but also being that person to listen to the thoughts and the ideals of teachers and what they feel that they can do better or what they would like to do to enhance the communication with the parents. I would also like to be that board member to speak with the parents, you know, and find out what their need is. Because when my child was in kindergarten and when she was being treated as if she was not valuable and pushed in the back of the classroom because she was finishing her work first and, you know, starting to talk to the kids. And I guess it was, you know, being disruptive. And as you can see, she gets it honest, right? I'm chatty, you know, my nickname as a little girl was Little Miss Chatterbox, right? And so my kid has it honest, but are we giving her what she needs to keep her engaged? Or do we say to the kids, oh, you finished your work, now be quiet? We're talking to 5-year-olds. They're not just going to sit there and be quiet. They're going to get antsy, especially if they're just sitting there. So how do we continue to promote excellence in our kids, even when they finish their work? Give them something else to engage in. Let them do something else. Don't push them to the back of the classroom and say, you're going to sit in the back by yourself, now be quiet. That's not healthy. You know, that tears kids down. And right now, our kids are being so torn down just with everyday life. They're hungry. They have no place to sleep. You know, these are things that we don't even imagine because we take for granted. And I don't even think we really, I said we take for granted because sometimes we don't realize our blessings, that we don't have to deal with what other kids are going through. So building the communication with teachers and parents lets the teachers know what's going on. And I know we're so caught up in society where we don't want people to be in our business, but sometimes you just have to open that door, that open line of communication, and say, hey, teacher, we're homeless. We're sleeping in our car. And in return, the parent feels comfortable enough to tell that teacher that, knowing that the teacher is going to say, let me help you. I may not know how to, but I know people within the schools that can help you. Not the fear of my child's going to be taken away, but to know that I can come to the school and talk to that one teacher and just gain strength to know that they're going to help me. I know that right now that there's, again, we talk about many kids that may not have the things that they need. And I have friends that are educators, and kids are coming to the schools where they're like, I have no clean clothes. I haven't showered in 2 days. Okay, here's a towel. Here's a washcloth. Here's a kit. Go into the locker room and go shower. Here's some fresh clothes. You know, we need to be able to just have empathy for our kids. And maybe the parents too. I don't know how to do that right now, but with the knowledge and the research, I know that we can do it. And I know that I can do that as a board member because I care. I care not only about our kids, but I care about our community because I'm Akron, born and raised here. My kids live here. You know, my family lives here. And Akron is really all I know. So me living here, I want a thriving community. I want to be proud when I go places and people say, where are you from? I'm from Akron, Ohio. And they're like, oh, where LeBron's from? Yes, but I want people to know more than just where LeBron's from, you know?
Absolutely. Great. We're coming up on time, but just a few more questions that I hope to quickly get through. You mentioned the College and Career Academies. From your perspective, how's that been working for students? How's it been working for the business community? Long term, how would you like to see that further develop?
With the College and Career Academies, I think it's on its way. I think what they're currently doing is great. You know, the college, you know, with Stark State giving, you know, kids a year or free tuition, I think that's great. And the kids that want to go to college, I think the path is already created for them. So it's the kids that don't want to go. We need to put a little bit more focus in that. And again, I said, bring more unions and trades, co-op programs, you know, working for the city. I always say, geez, I wish I would have started working for the city when I was 17. I could be retired in a couple of years, you know, but 20 something more years ago. But a lot of people that worked for the city came out of high school working for the city. We need to promote that more. We have so many partnerships in Akron. Businesses, we have First Energy, we have Goodyear, we have, you know, even with Akron Public Schools, we have so much resource here in Akron. How do we help our kids go into those fields? How do we open the doors and say, hey, as a senior, you can come do an internship, you know, or even if kids want to be a teacher, you know, with everything going on, teachers aren't looked at as if a career anymore, like people want to do it. How do we promote that? You know, let's build some scholarships, you know, in the Akron Public School sector where, and they have a Become program, but many people don't know about it. So when I say, talk to people that say they want to be teachers, I'm like, hey, do you know about the Become program? They're like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, Does it still exist? But it does. So basically that program was you go to college and when you graduate, you sign like a 2-year contract to be a teacher here in APS. What other way is there? But also our residents that grow up here in Akron that want to be educators, we also need to hire them. Because there's a lot of people that go to school to be teachers. They do their internships here in Akron, but then they don't get a job in Akron. And they're going to Cleveland. They're going somewhere else. How do we keep them here? Because they're invested here. You know, so we just have to do a better job with the career aspect. And I think we're on our way. We just need more people to get involved. We need to open the doors and let the unions and trades come in and let them help educate our kids. And then hear from the kids. What do they want to do? And if they want to be lawyers, like my oldest daughter always wanted to be a lawyer since sixth grade. They didn't have mock trial programs in APS. So she went to Hoban because Hoban and St. V had it. So how do we incorporate that into APS? We have so many lawyers that have graduated from APS. Let's rally behind them and create a program so that our kids, like my daughter, can stay in Akron Public Schools and not have to go anywhere else because we have everything that the private schools have in APS. So we just have to be innovative. We have to be collaborative and we have to be able to be open to pull that other resources that we're seeing in other schools all across the country and bring it here to Akron.
Great, thanks. One final thought. The state recently expanded its voucher program.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The state recently expanded its voucher program. That might create pressure on student enrollment here at APS. So from your perspective, how can the board help APS be more competitive in attracting and retaining top talent? You know, what could the board be thinking about differently?
You said might. It is creating pressure because every kid that's out of that chair in APS, that's hurting. And then that means you go into debt, you know, because that money goes with that kid. Again, like I stated earlier, we just have to be more open-minded. We have to bring other resources that some of the private schools have and put them into Akron Public Schools. They're succeeding for a reason. People are wanting to pull their kids there for a reason. Find out what those reasons are. And again, like I said, the mock trial program, that was the deal breaker, you know? So how do we bring that into Akron Public Schools? We continue to collaborate. We continue to build partnerships with people right here in Akron. I was just at an event with iPromise Wednesday. There was over 300 people across the United States that came to House 330 and want to pour into that program. APS. Let's open the doors. Let's let people bring their resources in and help. So with the voucher program, why are kids leaving? That's the first question. We need to find that out. If that's a survey, if that's someone calling parents whose kids have been taken out of APS to go to the private schools, find out why. Because it could be communication. It could be my child is not getting what they need, so they're going to private school. So what is it that your kid needs? Where did we lack? Where did we mess up at as a school system? So once we start asking those questions, then we can start finding out the solutions, just like everyday life. When we're doing something wrong, we want to know what we did wrong, how we could have done better, and then we create that solution.
Any final thoughts before we wrap?
My final thoughts, and I'll make it short. This is not a stepping stone for me. This is not something that I just want to do overnight. I ran in 2015 because I just had the love for kids. And I didn't really know all the different avenues to take and, you know, who to reach. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. And that was knowledge that I didn't know. I didn't receive that knowledge. Now I know, you know, and I'm running the best that I can with the resources that I have. But no, I pour into my children. I raised my four siblings. I've poured into them. And I will pour everything that I have into your child. Because one thing you can do is you can trust me. I'm a human. I make mistakes like everyone else. But one thing that I do is I put my best foot forward and I give you my all. I give you my all. And that speaks in my job, in my life, with my kids, and in my community. I give my all. And that's all I can say is I will be my best. I will do my best. I am standing on the shoulders of women who fought for the city of Akron. My great aunt, Helen Arnold, my grandmother, Marion Hall. My father's a pastor, Pastor Gregory Partridge. I have family that were teachers. And not only if my kids are looking at me, I know the community is looking at me. So I'm here to push forward, continue to build Akron up, and promote excellence for everyone. Thank you.
Summer Hall, thanks. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.